Tess Avov Adar, Shushan Purim, Friday the 6th of March, Rabbi Avram Cutler on a Parsha theme.
Just want to make a disclaimer, the fellow on the picture here, he couldn't show up because he's got a hangover, so you got me instead. It was built. We're built as a Parsha theme. So Parsha theme. Well, we'll see where we get to. But just to make Dudi happy, we'll start off with a pasuk from the Sedra and Kashra on the Sedra. And the pasuk says, "Vayifen vayered Moshe min al-har shnei luchos aedus biyadai luchos suvim mishnei vareihem mizehem suvim." And the pasuk means that the luchos were made in an amazing alpinase, Rashi says, "Mishnei vareihem hayu oisus nikrois." What does that mean? That means that the luchos, you could read them from either side. It was a miracle. You could read them. You could read them from the front, from the back, and it was exactly the same. Maisanissim. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't make a nace happen like for no reason. I mean, what was this? Was it a good shtick? Was it like a? What was the purpose of this miracle? What was the point of this miracle? Okay, so that's the kash on the sedra. Put to the side. We can get back to Purim now. Okay, we get back to Purim, Shushan Purim. Now, Shushan Purim, I've always had a question on Shushan Purim. I mean, it's not like kind of a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias kind of matzah. Why is it that in Yerushalayim they're keeping a different day Purim to us? So we all know, I mean, what was the point? What's the reason? So we all know that in Megillah it says that in Shushan they were allowed to fight on Yud Gimel, and they asked for another day, they asked for Yud Dalet as well. They asked for 2 days. Everywhere else they just fought on Yud Gimel and they rested on Yud Dalet, so Purim had Purim yesterday. In Shushan they fought Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet and they rested on the 15th. They rested on the 15th, so therefore they fought 2 days, they rested on the 15th. They fought for 2 days, they rested on the 15th, so therefore they have Purim, Shushan Purim, they have Purim on the 15th today. But the question is why? Why did they fight for an extra day? So the answer, the Teretz is actually a Gemara, which I'm sure you all know, but we'll first of all quote the Rashi on the Megillah. Pasuk says, Mordechai Yodes Kol Asher Nasa, and Rashi says, Balach Haloim Omalai, Eliyahu told him, Shehiskima Elyonim Lekach, Lefish Yishtachu, Letzelem Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to the idol in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and Shneinu Mesudas Achashverosh. And it's actually a Gemara in Megillah, it's a whole conversation between Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his Talmidim. And they asked him, the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai asked him, Mifnei Man Ischaivu Seinem Shel Yisrael, why were the Bnei Yisrael in that door, Shabbat Yisrael door, Chayv Kliya? Why was there this terrible Gezerah? So Amar Lahem, Shimon Bar Yochai told them, Amar Lahem, you say the answer. So Amar Lahem, they said to him, Mifnei Shinen Misadosa Shalosh Rasha, because they were Nena from the Sudah of Achashverosh. Asked Shimon Bar Yochai back to his Talmidim, Im Kain, So Shushan Yehargo, only in Shushan, that only happened in Shushan, only the people in Shushan had Nena from the Sodom Achashverosh. So B'chol Olam Kulo, the rest of the world, the rest of the 127 Medinas, Al Yehargo, they shouldn't be killed. Why were they killed? So Omer Lo, they said to him, okay, Rebbe, Omer Atu, you say. So Omer Lehem, he said, them if Neshi Yishtachu will sell them. They bow down to the idol, and then we'll just finish off the Gemara, it might be useful for later on. B'chimash upon Yesh Badove, such a bad Aveira is there, is there Teshuvah? Omalahem, so he said to them, yeah, Heim lo asu ele lifnim, they only did it outwardly, they only served the idols outwardly. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asa imam ele lifnim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made this gezerah outwardly for a chance for them to do a proper teshuva, and the Gemara brings a raya. So, on face value, you would learn that Gemara, they're actually having a machlokas. The Talmidim said it was because Nen Masudas Achashverosh, and he said, no, that's not a good answer, because that's only in Shushan, what about the rest of the world? So, and then you have the answer of the Tselem, of because they bowed down to the Tselem, you made Nebuchadnezzar. But Simcha Vassaman is Madaik, actually the two answers are really, they both work, and in fact that's what happened. In the rest of the world they had only one Aveira, that's the, they was bowed down to the Tselem, you made Nebuchadnezzar, therefore they only needed to fight for 1 day. Whereas in Shushan they had two Aveiras, they would bow down to the idol like everybody else, and be made Nebuchadnezzar. And they Nenim Asudas Achashverosh. That was in Shushan. Shushan had two Aveiras, therefore they had to fight for 2 days. And therefore they fought for 2 days and they only rested the day afterwards. That's why they have an extra day. That's why they have an extra ride. They had 2 days to Masakan. They needed 2 days to fight. Mm. Now, Lemaisa, that is the Gemara. The Medrash and Shir HaShirim actually brings this conversation between the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai and his Talmidim slightly differently. In fact, the opposite way around, where they've got it, whereas that they ask why were they Nenek, why were they had to have such a terrible gezeira, and Shimon Bar Yochai answered because the Nenek said it's Achashverosh. They asked him. That's only in Shushan. It's got the other round. They Talmidim asked him, that's only in Shushan though. To which Shimon Bar Yochai answered, no, that we've got Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozah. But each year we know that it's definitely one of the reasons is because of Nenem Mesudas Achashverosh. The reason why the Bnei Yisrael had a terrible Gezeira was because they were eight at the Suda. Now, leads us to the question, what was such a terrible Gezeira? So they ate Macholos Asuros. I'm sorry to say, according to the Mepharshim I've seen, they were eating Macholos Asuros. What was so bad that had to be the whole of Klal Yisrael had never been such a bad gezeira. The whole of Klal Yisrael should be wiped out because they were Nenem Mesudas Achashverosh, because they were eating Macholos Asuros. What was so bad about that? To answer that and to make the question, we'll get the question even stronger first, we'll go further back. Let's go back to the Megillah. So we're still Shushan Purim. So, Megillah state that when Esther saw Mordechai in sackcloth, she sent a message to him. Atikra Esther Hasach, through Hasach, Mesor Samenach, Asher Hemid Lefonah, Vetzataveyu, and she commanded him, Al Mordechai, Lodas, Mazeh, Vial Mazeh. She said, what's going on? And Mordechai answered back to her, Lodas, Mazeh, Vial Mazeh. The Gemara is Medayik on that. The Gemara in Megillah Darshan's on that posuk in Megillah. Ledas Mazer Vial Mazer. On Rabbi Yitzchak Sholcheloi, she sent him some kind of special message. Shema Ov Yisrael Al Chamishi Chumshe Torah. Maybe the Bnei Yisrael have been over on Chamishi Chumshe Torah. Dechsev Mizer Mizer Heim Ksuvim. That posuk which we started off with, Mizer Mizer Heim Ksuvim. Maybe they've been over on the Chamishi Chumshe Torah, in which it says Mizer Mizer Heim Ksuvim. So the question is, why did she? If she wants to say that the Bnei Yisrael are over Chamishi Chumshe Torah, why is she choosing that one posuk, Mizeh Mizeh Heim Ksuvim? That's the only posuk she could think of, Mizeh Mizeh Heim Ksuvim. I'll tell you also the Medrash to make it to fill out this as well. The Medrash has a little bit longer this conversation. Lodas Mazeh V'Yal Mazeh. Omer Loi, Leif Omer Loi, Miyameim Shil Yisrael Loi Bo L'Tzara. Because they never had such a terrible, terrible Gezeira. There was never ever such a terrible Gezeira like this In the whole of history of Klal Yisrael, up until that point, there never been such a terrible gezeira. So she asked. She said, "Shema kof Yisrael bezek kelim va'aveyu." Maybe they were kofa in zek kelim va'aveyu, kofa in a kodesh baruch hu, in which it says zek kelim va'aveyu. But shema kof v'luchos. Maybe they were kofa in the luchos, in which it writes mizeh mizehim ksuvim. So we've got an additional question now. She's sending him a message, and that's how the Medrash and the Gemara Darshan's Lodas Mazeh V'Yal Mazeh, about this and about this. Maybe they're over on the Zek Hedim V'Aveyu, maybe they're over on the Mizeh Mizehim Pesukim. So why is she Dafka choosing these Pesukim? So we recap on our questions now, so that's one question. Why is she Dafka choosing these Pesukim? Another question we're asking is, what was it such a terrible, terrible thing to be Nenem Mesudas Achashverosh that the whole of Klal Yisrael needs to be wiped out? That was the big, big Aveira. Another question we're asking is a Diak as well. It says maybe they're over on Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So we know they're Nenem Mesudas Achashverosh. Why Chamishei, the whole of the Torah, because of Zehem Zehem Subim? And also back to our original question as well, what was the purpose of this? What was the purpose of this miracle that the luchos could be seen from either side? You could read them backwards and forwards. What was the necessity for that? And also, we'll see, did Mordechai have a reply to her? What was Mordechai's reply to her in this secret conversation going on between Esther and Mordechai? Because the Medrash says, again, just after there, Vayagilo Mordechai is kol asher karo. Mordechai told her all what happened. Go and tell her, you know what, Ben Benoi Shal Karohu Ba'aleinu. It's the great-grandson of Bet of Karohu. Who's that referring to? That's referring to Amalek. I'll show you like it writes in Make it right, Pashik. You say Sasha Korokobadara. So you know that's referring to Amalek. So what was Mordechai's reply to her? And that's actually where we'll start. We'll this conversation backwards and forwards, because there's a Beis HaLevi in Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach says, Vayavai Amalek, Vayavai Amalek V'yirochem in Yisrael, B'Refidim. And Amalek came, and they fought with Yisrael in Refidim. Now, the Kashrut asks, but we know it's Refidim already. The Chazal say, Hach Refidim D'Ksiv L'Chorim Yusa, because we know they're in Pesukim beforehand, say they're in Refidim. Devak Ksiv Mekoyim, it's already written that before, Shoy Yisrael Ozba Refidim. So therefore the Chazal, there's two droshes here, that Refidim Shurof Yudeim Medivrei Torah. They were Rofim Medivrei Torah, and then Miad V'Yov Amalek. Straight to Amalek came. They were weak in Torah. And that's why it says, V'yirochem Yisrael V'Refidim. Also there's another Chazal, and it says, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu. Is Hashem B'Kirbeinu? Is Hashem in our midst? And then, Miad V'Yov Amalek. The Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar asked, is Hashem B'Kirbeinu? Miad V'Yov Amalek. Straight to Amalek came. And the Beis HaLevi says, this is what Esther was worried about. This is dafka what Esther was asking when she was saying, Lodas Mazer, Bial Mazer, do they have these two averus? Did they have a chesor in Emunah? That's asking, maybe they were kofa on Zeh Kelim V'Avehu. And also, were they Rofi B'Divrei Torah? And that's the Lodas Mazer, Bial Mazer. That's the other Zeh. Maybe they were over on the Luchos, maybe they were over on Chamashiach Chumash Torah, Dichsiv. Mizeh Mizeh Him Ksuvim. But still, so that's what the Beis HaLevi says. That's how the Beis HaLevi explains Esther's secret message to Mordechai. And that's actually how he understands Mordechai's reply as well. Yes, you're 100% right, because Esther knew from Chazal already that when does Amalek come? Amalek comes when you have these two averes, well, A, Chesoron in Emunah, and B, a Rifyon in Torah. And that's what she was worried about. Are they over on these two things, Rifyon in Torah and Chesoron in Emunah? And that's exactly what Mordechai answered back. Yes, you're 100% right. Asher Korach Amadeach. That's exactly what happened. Ben Benoi, Kol Asher Karu, tell her everything that happened. Ben Benoi Shel Karu Bo Aleinu. The great grandson of Karu, which is Amalek, has come to us, and you're 100% right. That's what she was meramas in those two questions, the Zeh of the Zeh Kenim Avehu, and the Zeh of the Mizem Zeh Ksuvin. But that's how the Beis HaLevi explains the conversation between the two of them. But it still hasn't fully answered our questions, because why dafka the posuk of Zeh Kenim V'Avehu to prove that Me'anuch Hashem Lekach, what's the remez of the Zeh? And also, the Mezeh Mezeh Ksuvim, the Luchos. And what were the two Averas? The two Averas were Nen and Kuzbach HaShveirosh, and bowing down to the Selim. Okay, bowing down to the Selim sounds a bit like the Chesoron in Emunah. That sounds okay, but Nen and Mesudas HaShveirosh, you'll call that a Rifkin in Torah. That's a Rifkin in Kol HaTorah Kula. We said that's over Chamishli Chumshi Torah. We're calling that a Rifkin in Gan's Torah. They had Macholos Asuros. That makes that question a little bit stronger. But at least we understand there is a conversation from the Beis HaLevi, and it's Amalek. Amalek's coming upon us, and that's the reason why. We know the reasons why. Okay, so. The Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef explains as follows. He says that the Yidden in the days of Mordechai and Esther, what do they do? They were keeping Kol HaTorah Kula. They were keeping Kol HaTorah Kula in their home. They had the best hechsherim in their houses. But when they were asked, when they had this big proclamation, you've got to come to the Suda, what do they say to each other? Oh, we've got to go. We've got to show that we are good. We've got to show that we are good citizens. We don't want to anger the king by this way. We'll be good in private, and in the public forum, in the public domain, we'll do what we have to do out there. That's what we'll do, and that's what they did. And it was a big mistake. The same also with the bowing down to the idol as well in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Chas v'shalom, they didn't have a lack of emunah. We said earlier on the Gemara that it was only lifnim, it was only outwardly. Outwardly they bowed down to the idol, but at home, of course, they kept front. They were 100% shomer mitzvahs, maminim, absolute maminim. There was no shira about that. But in the public forum, the public and the outside, they were lacking the edit, right? They missed the point, as we'll see. because the Yidden with them were making a mistake. The Torah is not just for private, and it's not just for public, it's got to be the same. And it's got to be the same. And where do we have to learn this from? Says the Be'er Yosef. That's actually the limit of the Mizeh U'Mizehim K'suvim. The Mizeh U'Mizehim K'suvim. The reason why we started off with the question, why do we have to have this interesting miracle? You know, you could read the Torah from this way, looking at that way, looking at that way. It's all the same. Because Torah is not just for one direction, not just for the... works both ways. It's not just for at home and then outside you do different. Or if I care, it's not just for outside. I'll be a goody at home and I'll do whatever I like at home. It's mizeh mizeh k'suvim. The Torah doesn't change. The Torah is for all times. It's for all times, all situations, public, private, makes no difference. And that's what Esther was actually worried about. And in fact she hit the nail on the head. Maybe they're over on mizeh mizeh k'suvim. L'das mazeh v'al mazeh. What's this? What's this? Because they're being over. They're missing the point. But they're missing the point of the Torah. And that's, we can now actually understand that actually it is. Although yes, they've had only one prat. They were nen and sudasachashuros. They were eating from the suda. They had macholos asuros. But it's missing the whole point. It's missing the whole point of the mizeh mizeh k'suvim. It's a riffing in the Gan's Torah. And we can say that they were over al-chamishe chumshe Torah. They were over al-chamishe chumshe Torah. Because if they can do that, they can say, Yiddishkeit is only for the home. Outside I'll do different. Or if I can't, Yiddishkeit is only for the outside, I'll do different at home. If they're doing that, that's a riffing. That's a riffing in Kol HaTorah Kula. We've managed to answer most of our questions already. What we answered. We've answered our original point. So that's our partial theme done. We've answered our original point. What was the point of this miracle? A very, very important lesson of the Mizeh U'Mizehim K'suvim, that the Torah is not just for outside, it's not just for inside, it's all situations, got to be every facet, it's always the same, it doesn't change. We've also answered what Esther was alluding to when she was asking the Das Mazeh V'Al Mazeh, that when maybe they've been over on Kamishe Kumshe Torah, in which it writes Mizeh U'Mizehim K'suvim. That's pshat, and that's pshat. Why she was dafka quoting that pasuk, or why she was alluding to that pasuk. We've also said, why is eating from the Sudan Achashverosh, what is it a riffin? Why is it a riffin? How can we say it's a riffin in Gan's Torah and Kol HaTorah Kula? Because they're missing the point. The Torah is endless. The Torah is for all situations. And it's also part of Mordechai's reply. Mordechai says, yes, there was a riffin. Yes, it is a Molik. A Molik comes because of riffin. And you're right. That's exactly what's happening. Now, we haven't answered, though, the Zekeni Ranveyu. That we haven't done. Zekeni Ranveyu. Other than saying that it was the bowing down to the Tselem, the why dafka that posuk? So I think there's another facet here of what Esther was hinting to when she sent Hasof to Mordechai. And we'll start with the Kerem Tzvi. Kerem Tzvi in this week's Parsha Kisisa, he asked a question. He says, we've said that they ate from the Suda, but we don't say they ate from the Suda. The Avera is always called, and all Gantz Kazal, is Nenim Suda Sachashverosh. They had Hanah from the Suda Sachashverosh. So what can you see from there? That not only did they had their Bithesh Vengeance, why we have to go out, we've got to go to the Suda, it's going to be dangerous if we don't go, but maybe if they would have gone to the Suda and every little brekka they're eating, you know, we really shouldn't be here. We're only doing this because, like, we have to, because of, to be politically correct. You know, but they actually had that benefit. They were enjoying it. Nena, nena means they were enjoying it. They were enjoying it. So that makes the Avera that much, much worse. The fact they were enjoying it. Okay, if they would have gone and they would have said, okay, we have to be here, but they're actually enjoying it. He says, where else do we see a similar idea? By the Egel Azov, the Suksedra. Egel Azov. Egel Azov. There's lots of kama meforshim of their cheshbonus, why they did it, what were they doing, what was their whole purpose of building this idol. Lots of different kama rishonim, kama achronim, what the whole purpose was. But when did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchos? When did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchos? When he came down, Pasuk says, when he saw the mecholos, vayaras ha'egel mecholos, he saw them dancing. So if they would have maybe Egel and said, "Listen, we're waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is just the conduit that was the shliach," but the fact that they're actually enjoying it, that shows you how much they were getting into Avera. And what you enjoy, what you get excited about, that is really the shorish of a person. That's really the shorish. I remember when I was choosing my, it was in those days, it was O levels. So I couldn't decide what O levels to choose. My father said, what do you enjoy? What subjects do you enjoy? So choose those ones. So what you really enjoy, that's where you're holding, that's where you're at. So in those two times, in the situation of the Egilazov, the fact that they're actually dancing around and enjoying it, that shows where they're holding. And in the times of the in the Mordechai Esther, times like Achashverosh, the Nen instead of Achashverosh, they actually had the Hanor, they were benefiting from it. They were enjoying it, that's where they're holding. Now, Lemaisa, what should we be enjoying? What are Yidden supposed to be excited about? What should we be excited about? Torah mitzvahs. We are excited in Torah mitzvahs. We should be only excited in Torah mitzvahs. Where do we see that idea? I think where do we see that one of the main places where we see that idea is from the Pasuk Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu. What do we learn from Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu? Famously, we know from Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu, Lehisnor b'fanav b'mitzvahs. You're supposed to be Lehisnor b'fanav b'mitzvahs. You're supposed to have beautified mitzvahs. That's the Chazal way. You have to have a bias now from a mezuzah. You have to have a menorah now. You're supposed to have beautified mitzvahs. That means when we do mitzvahs, we don't just do mitzvahs to pay a chayiv. We're supposed to get excited about mitzvahs. We get into the mitzvahs so much so that we're going to do them, even to the extent where we'll do it in the most beautiful way. We'll do it in the most beautiful fashion. That's what we're supposed to get excited. That's what we're supposed to get excited about. And that's maybe what Esther was also hinting at when she was saying maybe there were kofa on Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu. Maybe they're kofa on Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu. Maybe they're not getting excited about mitzvahs. They're not getting excited about mitzvahs. They're getting excited about the wrong things. And that was part of her message. And that's part of the message and why she was using the pasuk of Zeh Kelim V'Aveihu. So, we should learn the message of Mizeh Mizehim K'suvim. Mizeh Mizehim K'suvim. The Torah is absolutely endless. It makes no difference if you're at home. It makes no difference if you're in public, private. It's the same Torah all the way through. In all situations, it doesn't change Kekotsu Shul Yud. And we should also learn, and we should also get excited, and only get excited about the right things. And what we get excited about, what we show our children, what we get excited about, that's what will carry on as well. But, a few more minutes. How are we Masakan this? What's the way to Masakan this? So first of all, Rabbi Roberts, with this whole thing, with this whole Dvar Torah, we can understand another Pasuk in Megillah, says, Yehudim Hosa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasa Mikar. Soson Chazal say is Rismila, and Vikar is Tefillin. So there seemed to be a Hiskaskus. This is the idea of the Mizeh Mizehim K'suvim. Rismila is a very very private mitzvah. It's an extremely private mitzvah with us the whole time. That shows the Torah is for private. And Tefillin is we go out in the streets with a Tefillin is Vikar. People used to go out in the streets with a Tefillin. That's a very public. That's a mitzvah for the domain. So that's the idea that the Torah is endless for the private public makes no difference. Simple as Sosom Vikar. And also, I think as well, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us on Purim afterwards? If Taka they were Nenim instead of Sachashverosh, and that was their problem, they were getting excited about the wrong things. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do on Purim? He gives us Azai Yomtov, which is mole Simcha. There's an abundance of Simcha, and we can spend the whole day being Osek in Osek the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, and we should hope that the Simcha which we've gained over Purim should be enthused in us and will help us through the whole year and. And all our mitzvahs and all our avodas Hashem should be enthused with that simcha. Thank you very much.